Beloved, we have survived another political season. Maybe barely, but we've survived the relentless political ads and the noise coming at us from every direction. And now we are left with promises. Promises, promises, promises. Promises of a better life, promises of a fairer administration, promises of living up to our national ideals, promises, promises, promises. But I want to remind you right now that when human beings make promises, no matter how hard we try, no matter how good our intentions, no matter how desperate we are as human beings to keep our word, we go back on it. We renege. We break our promises. It's just that way. And if we tell the truth, sometimes it feels like God is not much better. Sometimes it feels as if God has broken God's promises. I stand here every Sunday and I say things like, God will never leave you or forsake you. Yet there have been times when it feels like heaven has been shut up and God has forgotten your cell phone number, your mobile number, your Twitter account, and your name. I can tell you, I know where in the Bible it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits, for he forgives your iniquities and heals all your diseases. But if all diseases were healed, my beloved Andre would be here, and Alzheimer's would be a thing of the past. I know. I know. I know that God tells us. God has chosen us. And whatever we ask in Jesus' name, John 15:16, it will be given to us. But right here, in this place, we have prayed for healing. We have prayed for peace. We have prayed for release. We've prayed for more faith to come. And it hasn't always occurred. Seems like sometimes God's promises are too porous, too thin. And this little book is part of the problem. Early in my ministry career, before seminary, before I was ordained, I bought them by the case. You can get them for 99 cents. Still, it's a Bible promise book. Somebody has sat down and culled from the biblical word those things that they call promises. And so when life gets tough, you go to the section on grace or on freedom or on discipleship or on compassion or on the provisions of God or on strength or on truth. You go to the section and you look for the promise. And it works like this. I'm doing my best. You owe me. I've said these words. I'm going to hold you to your word because I can read it in black and white. My good work in, blessings out. It's a vending machine, right? I will never forget. First Baptist Melrose. I was still in seminary. And I was an intern at that church. And there was a family. They were faithful. It, like community church, was largely a white church. And this was an Ethiopian family. They were there every time the doors opened. They were there to clean, to serve, to bless. And the only daughter in the family had trouble bearing children. And she and I were close because you all know my story. I could not bear children. And so she got pregnant and it was a seamless pregnancy and she had the baby and the baby came with so many issues that we surrounded that bed day and night for 11 days and the baby died. And I remember the patriarch of that family looking at me and saying, you were wrong. I cannot believe in a God this cruel. And one of these was in his back pocket. What happens happens when it seems like the God we love and trust, in whom we've put our reliance, in whom we've placed our faith, fails or seems to break God's promises? What happens when we look around us and everything we've stood for, everything we've said seems to have crashed to the ground? What do we do when, like Job, we look to heaven and shake our fists in anger? What do we do? What do we do? Because we can tell you where the promises are. We can cite them chapter and verse. Beloved, I believe God's promises are true. I believe God is not short of God's word. But I think these little books and the way we read the text have gotten us in trouble. You see, we cherry pick. We look for the thing we need in that moment. And we read only that verse. We don't read what surrounds it. We don't understand it in its fullness. And we can't understand it in its fullness, for we are finite and God's word is divine. But we can understand it, understanding that we live in a chronos kind of time. We live in time that is linear, and all we can do is pray, wait for the next moment, and expect. We live in this time that is sequenced. And when prayers are not answered in the way we imagine them, it feels like they're broken. But God does not live in chronos time. God lives in kairos time, in the fullness of time. God keeps God's promises in kairos, not in chronos. God keeps God's promises, Halloween, surely, but not according to our schedules or our desires, or even our needs. Witness the story of Gideon. If you know anything about the book of Judges, you know this. Israel was good for a little while, and then they acted, as my mother would say, outside themselves. And then they cried out because their butts were in trouble. And then God sent a judge, and then they were good for a while. And then they acted outside themselves. And 13 cycles of that in the book of Judges. One of those cycles involves Gideon. You heard Heloise read it. Israel had a lovely life and they forgot God. God said, I'm the one that brought you out, but you will have none of me. And so the Midianites come and Israel is in trouble. They start hiding in the hills and they start digging holes and hiding in the holes. In fact, that's where we find Gideon this morning. He is down in a wine press. He is down in a hole, threshing grapes, threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. And into that moment, first it says an angel of the Lord, and then it says the Lord steps in. Gideon is from the half tribe of Manasseh. Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So Joseph's tribes became half tribes, Manasseh. So Gideon says, I'm from a half tribe, and frankly, I'm the weakest in my tribe. And by the way, how dare you show up now, God, for your promises are broken. Where are all of those miracles you wrought for our elders? Because you see me, I am in a hole. You got the wrong one on the wrong day at the wrong hole. I beg your pardon, Lord. You have screwed up. Big Gideon was counting on the promises that had been made to Abraham. I will make of your seed greatness. You will never be without me. Gideon is counting on the promises that God had made to Moses, that the way I kept you in the Exodus so that your shoes did not wear out and you were not hungry, I will keep you for the rest of your life. Gideon was counting on the promises of God, but from his position in the hole, It didn't look so good. God's promise is thin. God's promise is porous. God's promise is broken. But God shows up and he makes three statements, three promises to Gideon. God shows up at the edge of that hole and looks in and says, "Mighty man of valor." The first promise God makes to Gideon in that moment is God sees him not as he is, but as he was created to be. The promise to us is that your circumstances, your situation, your life, your mistakes, your sin, your whatever does not dictate how God sees you, does not dictate how God will use you, does not dictate what God has in store for you. Gideon was in a hole, but God saw him as a mighty man of valor, someone who could heal and save his people. Gideon thought of himself less than a little bit, but God saw him as someone who could stand up with power and righteousness. Beloved, the promise that God makes to us is that no matter where we are today, no matter what is going on in our hearts and in our beings, God sees us as God created us. And in the Genesis story, when he created you, he said you were very good. The first promise God makes to Gideon is, I know you and I will keep you in that way no matter what. Second promise. God says to Gideon, go in the power you have. Now, we were working with verbs last week. The tense of go in the power you have is past tense. In other words, I see you in the hole, my dear son. I see you fearful. I know your people are off in the mountains hiding. But I want you to know, when I created you in your mother's womb, I want you to know when I knit you together in the secret parts, I want you to know when I called you before you were born, what I put in you was power. And it's still there, even though you're down in a hole. Go in the power you have. Beloved, Paul tells us, do you not know? You are temples of the Holy Spirit. The writer of Ephesians tells us, Heloise read it. Do you not know you are sealed with a promise of the Holy Spirit and this is your inheritance? Look, if your family left you millions and you had to reach a certain age to get it, nothing can stop you from getting it unless you die or give up on yourself, because that inheritance is sure. Your inheritance as a child of God, your inheritance of power and of wisdom and of love and of a sound mind is yours. Nothing can erase it. The only thing that can stop us, Gideon, from using it is if we don't believe it's true or we don't believe it's ours. Go in the power you have. I have made you powerful. I have made you strong. I have made you capable. I have made you ready. Do you believe it, Gideon? Now, it's not today's sermon, but if you keep reading it, the answer to that question was no. Gideon is the one who said, I'm going to put this sheepskin out, and if it's dry in the morning and the ground is wet, we're good. And then he said, let's try this again. I'm going to put it out. And if it's wet and the ground is dry, we're good. And God was gracious and patient with, keep reading, with Gideon. So sometimes God is willing to work with us when we don't believe that we are vessels of power and wisdom and light and love. The second promise God makes to Gideon is, you've already got what you need to do what I have purposed you to do. And it's true about us. Everything you need, beloved, everything you need to do what God has called you to do is in you. It was in you from your creation. It was in you from your birth. That's a promise. Third promise. And I will be with you. I love Advent because it's when we talk about Emmanuel, God with us. I love Advent because we think carefully about this baby born who is the light of the world. But the Emmanuel name that Jesus bears is sign and symbol that I will be. I am with you. I was with you. Beloved, this promise of presence, this promise of being around us and in us and through us is part of our gift. It's part of what the Holy Spirit is sealing in us. But in those moments when it feels like none of these promises are true, we have to remember that's Kronos. In the Kairos moment, they remain true. In the Kairos moment, in the fullness of God's time, I wish we had Kronos watch. I wish we had Kairos watches. I wish we had watches that would let us see when God was about to make the move in our lives. But if we had them, we would not need faith. And instead of a Kairos watch, God says, my faith I give to you. My grace is sufficient. Promises, promises, promises. God has made to us promises. And they are true. But they are true in the fullness of time. They are true in the Kairos moment. They are not true when we demand them. They're not true when we pray for them. But they are true in the life and in the living that is done in the name of our Savior. So, beloved, I invite you this week to deepen your relationship with the God who operates in Kairos. I invite you to know that those promises are real. And when they do not come when we demand them, ask then for the faith to wait until they show up. Someone called me this week, meaning to be helpful, and asked me if I was angry at God because my beloved husband is dead. I know this person meant to be helpful, because the preamble to that question was about the strength of my faith and my capacity to stand here and continue on. And but her question was more, why aren't you angry? Her question was more, why aren't you mad at God? And I said, Andre is healed. And God promised to heal him, but God didn't promise to do it in my eyesight. My faith tells me he is healed. So God's promise is real and true, just not according to Kronos. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I love and I serve a God who has said to me, mighty woman of valor, go in the strength I already gave you. Know I will be with you, and know that sealed in you by the power of the Holy Spirit is a promise that I will not break. You are mine, and all things shall be well. Come, beloved, come deeper into that relationship, where Kronos falls away and Kairos rises up, and you can do what we sang, standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages. Let his praises ring. Glory. I'll shout and sing, standing on the promises. Good and gracious God, you never promised us it would be easy. You never promised us that we would see the fullness of your love for us in this world. But you've promised it's real. And we will hold you to your word. In the moment of Kairos, in the twinkling of an eye, and between now and then, bless us with strength and willingness to wait on your promises, for we stand on them by faith. In the name of the one who gives us that faith, we pray. Amen and amen.